Would you just bow your heads for a moment, and would you take a moment and pray for you? Question you got to answer if your heart were to stop, if you were to die. It's the most important question. Are you saved? Are you hoping, you're guessing, praying, searching, or do you know? Tonight I will share some of my story. Hey, Father, thank you for that name, Jesus. I thank you for this worship, this team that's led us, and this choir as well. God, I pray tonight that you would set people free from religion. You'd set people free from their past, guilt, shame, blame. You'd set people free from addictions in their life. God, tonight, would you use my story one more time? Even people that maybe are watching online, you'd save them right where they sit. God, I thank you for the McCumbry family that let me live on their couch. They've passed away. I thank you for Jeff, the football player that got me to church. I thank you for my Jesus parents in San Antonio that let me live in that camper. I thank you for some of those people that you put in my life that got me to where I am. Thank you tonight for this church and this staff whose their work's going to be even more so when this is over. We'll give you praise. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean be seated. If you were here last night, say I was. Good is the enemy too. Good is the enemy too. This is what great looks like. This is what great looks like right here. We'll worship more then, but I want you to listen to me. This ought to be typical. This is a great church. Some really great people. But you can't step back. Young people, where you're sitting, man, I'm telling you, Sunday morning, you ought to be sitting front and center. Bible open, notebook open. I know Joe said they've got some notebooks that they can give you, but you need to start writing stuff down. And mom and dad, don't let them. You need to start writing stuff down. Amen? All right, go ahead and be seated. I'd say quietly, but that ain't going to happen. If you're a member of this church, raise your hand. How many of y'all, this has kind of blown you away a little bit this week? And let me just tell you, this just doesn't happen. Some of you, it's people prayed, they planned, they prepared, and then here we are. If you're not a member of this church, raise your hand. You're not a member, hold up your hands, and you want to join tonight, all right? God, that's awesome. You got a lot of... I love the ones going, dude, if this is your first, I can't imagine, but if this is your first time to hear me speak, would you raise your hands? First time ever? Hold them up high. I just want to see, kind of wave them where I can see, okay? If this week was the first time that you ever heard me, raise your hand. Anybody here? All right. Well, if you would, I'm going to center in the book of John. Chapter 10. Everybody say voices. Everybody say choices. So I spoke 6-7 times this week. I kind of get off tomorrow. I'll come back and tear down my merch and I'll get to have kind of a day. Friday, I got about a 4-hour drive, I think, to Knoxville. I'll chill on Friday, set up on Saturday, and I'm going to speak 3 times on Sunday. And then on Monday, I got about a 17-hour drive home. And I will drive, I'll leave about 2 or 3 in the morning out of Knoxville. I'll get my hour back that I'm going to lose. And I'll get home late, so I can be home Tuesday and Wednesday with my wife and my dog, Fluffy. And Thursday morning or Thursday sometime, maybe afternoon, I will leave for Louisiana on Friday, the 14th. I hope it's not the 13th, but I'll be speaking in three schools on Friday. I'm off on Saturday. I'm preaching Sunday morning. Sunday night, our crusade starts. Monday, I'm going to do four or five schools. Tuesday, another four or five schools. Wednesday, three or four. I'll be sharing my story on Monday. They use different people. I get to finish there, and then I'm off. I get home on Thursday. My wife and myself are going to have my two grandkids, adopted grandkids, and we get to head to take them back home. My son will be back in town after that, and we're going to be there for my birthday. And I'm not going to get anything, but we're going to be there. I'll probably take everybody out to eat for my birthday. And then I get a little more time off before I start again. Everybody say voices.
Voices.
Everybody say choices.
Voices.
Have you ever listened to the wrong voice?
Yes.
9 stepfathers in my life. I'm in jail at 15. I want you to listen to me. If I was choosing a story, I wouldn't have chosen mine. For you that grew up in a godly home or a Christian home, I want you to hear me. For you that grew up in that, because there's a lot of people when they hear my story, they're thinking I don't have a story. Everybody's got a story. Everybody's got a testimony. And for you that grew up in that godly home with mom and dad that loved Jesus, they pointed you to Jesus, and you never got into drugs or you never strayed away. I'm not saying you never sinned, but you just kind of stayed pretty cool. And you got saved. Because let me just tell you, there are a lot of people that would have loved to have had that story. I had to literally go through hell to find heaven. But both of us had to be saved the same way. 9 stepfathers, 24 different schools, 5 different high schools, my last year of school, in jail at 15, suicidal at 10 after one of my dads beat me with the switch and I bled, cleaned the blood off, and that was the worst probably beating that I got. Took my first... I grabbed a bottle of aspirin, don't know that I wanted to die. Took my first drink of alcohol at 9. My dad was a gutless man, knew how to make a baby, didn't want to be a daddy to a baby. I'm the oldest of 8 siblings. Half-brother died from needles at 40. Lost. 2 half-sisters lost. Alcoholics along with their kids. Another half-brother went to prison, got out. I've written 3 books. When he got out, he started making better choices. Everybody say voices.
Voices.
Everybody say choices.
Voices.
And he, all of a sudden, he got out. I believe he's saved. Maybe the only one in my family that is. Married 2 incredible kids. He's in the business world, and his life's been changed. I have a half-sister I know nothing about. I got a phone call one time driving through Dallas, and I normally wouldn't answer it, but I did. And she said, "Is this Ken Freeman?" I said, "Maybe." Well, I didn't know who it was going to be. And she said, "Is James Arthur Freeman your dad?" And I said, "He is." She said, "I think you're my half-brother," and she hung up. I've got another full sister, my baby sister, who I love more than anybody. I promise you I'm going to get to the word. My baby sister, full baby sister, and I loved her. When I found her, her 12-year-old little boy was crippled and crumpled over with a walker. And here's what I told students, and I want to tell you. And if you are taking notes, I'd write it down. Every choice we make will affect family. 38 million kids in America have no idea where their real father is. 19 million kids in America have never seen their real dad. Everybody say family.
Family.
I want you to understand that that word family to me was like a cuss word. Everybody say friends. Here's what I told students. I'm not talking about the friends that you drink with, party with. I'm not talking about the friends that you get in trouble with. I'm talking about the friends that want the best for you. And then I tell people this: show me your friends, I'll show you your, everybody say future. But the one word I couldn't give in the schools, I hate that I can't tell those kids about Jesus. I promise you, if I had a chance to do that, we'd have revival in whatever city we're in. Kids start getting saved. Everybody, if you would, say faith. So every choice that you and I make will affect our family, our friends, our future, and our faith. Bottom line is, When I found my baby sister, her little boy was born that way because of her choice to do drugs. She was 40 years old, hepatitis C from needles, cirrhosis of the liver from alcohol. And there's a lot I can't share in the assemblies because of time and just different things. My baby sister became the person she hated. She became my mom. See, tonight you need to make sure that when you die that you know Jesus. And I'm going to tell you how that can happen. But there's a great ripoff in our world. There are some of you here, let me tell you, religion won't get you to Jesus. You can get baptized, dipped, dunked, sprinkled, and go to hell wet. You can join a church and it won't make you a Christian. If I join the Girl Scouts, it ain't going to make me a girl. My granddaughter said I would be an ugly girl. See, we got a lot of people that think there's a lot of ways to get to heaven, but I want you to listen. According to Scripture, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can get to Jesus except, no one can get to the Father except through me. Bottom line is, my dad walked out of my life. My mom was an alcoholic, 24 different schools. I'm beat up and bullied at home, beat up and bullied at school. I was walking up some stairs in the fourth grade, and a guy stabbed me in the back about four or five times. I was a brand new student. They got me to the nurses, and then they got us into the principal's office. And when they asked the guy why he did that, he said, because he was a new kid. My sister and I lived in fear. And see, the sad part of my story, church, listen, there were churches all around us, but nobody reaching out to us. Can I say this? There are very few churches that will ever see what you've seen this week. I promise you. Listen, I hope you don't get tired of this. I hope you do this again and again and again. I mean, I'm going to do this as long as I can. If you're listening, say yes.
Yes.
Everybody say voices.
Voices.
Everybody say choices.
Voices.
It'll make sense when I get to my scripture. Bottom line is, we'd go bar hopping with my mom, and we'd go to one bar, and then we'd go to another bar, and after about the fourth one, my baby sister and I would fall asleep in a booth. My mom would forget us. She would leave. They would lock up the bar, and me and my sister, if you can imagine, would wake up in a bar 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, hoping my mom would come back and get us. When my mom would come in at night from working at a bar or a club, I want you to listen, because I've heard a lot of voices, the voices of depression, a voice of hate, a voice of insecurity, a voice of fear. There was a time my hands would shake uncontrollably. And there were churches all around us. And let me say this to the students that are here. I'm glad you're here. But I want you to understand, if all God's going to get out of you is a Sunday, listen, you need to be in your youth group. You need to be here Wednesday. You need to be here on Sunday morning. And I would say this to the adults. Adults, if you take church lightly, your kids may never go when they get older. We gotta be the example. Bottom line is, we lived in fear. My mom would come in at night, drag us out of her beds. Typically, she would beat me first, and she'd go to my sister. And when I got old enough, I would cover my sister so my mom would hit me a little more. My sister would be okay. From the age of 10 to 15, I slept on a floor, and we slept in our school clothes next to my baby sister's bed. We got smart. Can you imagine 10 and 8? My mom would come in at night. If I heard her, I could wake my baby sister up. We would slip out the back door, hide in a garage, a street, an alley, a park, and after a couple of hours, we could slip back in and get a good night's rest. Do you know when I share my story at the schools, I can't tell them about Jesus, but I watch kids sit and cry because I identify with my life. We've got to reach more Ken Freemans, and we got to reach some moms and dads. Bottom line is, when I was 7, my sister was 5. This is the tough part. We moved to California. I woke up in the bunk bed above, 7 years old. My mom said, I'll see you in 3 days. My mom made a
choice.
Ah, see, you're good. Everybody say voices.
Voices.
Choices.
Voices.
Bottom line is, my mom said, I'll see you in 3 days. I'm going to party. Left us with the next boyfriend. She made another. And I share this in school, and this is the part where the 73-year-old great-grandfather has something in common with those students, even some of those teachers. I woke up, my mom's gone. I know I went back to sleep, and I woke up to my sister crying. I'll be as gentle here as I can. But I woke up because, see, we live in a really screwed up world. If you would agree, say yes. And young people, can I say this? The devil's youth group is bigger than God's youth group. They meet every weekend for their parties. They sing, dance, get high, get drunk, and throw away all their morals. And that's why we as a, listen, you got a disciple now, I think, somewhere down the road. I got to tell you, you want to get your friends to church as much as you can. And mom and dad, you want to do the same thing. If you're listening, say yes. Bottom line is I woke up, my baby sister crying, usually a dream or a nightmare. I didn't like crying. If she did, I did. So I would jump out of the bed, try to wake her up, calm her down, except this night, won't ever forget it, when I looked in the bunk bed, this man did horrible things to my baby sister. And I want to say this to you, that that happened to my sister more times than I'm going to know. My two half-brothers that I recently found went through more abuse maybe than me and my sister. And that night, he grabbed me by the arm and he slung me to the bottom of the bed. You see, there was a time I didn't laugh, listen, learn, and I didn't want to live. And there were churches all around us. We got to do a better job of being a Jesus to other people. Bottom line is, my mom came home 3 days later, and when she did, I'm just giving you the bad part. There's a good part. Never forget, she came home and ran into the living room, wrapped her arms around my mom's leg. She was a big woman. The dude who did what he did to us and probably other kids is drinking a bottle of beer. And I remember looking at my mom, and I thought if I could tell my mom what this dude did, my mom would kill him, because that's the world we lived in. Well, my mom was so drunk, she kicked us off of her legs. She passed out in the bed. He got in the car and left. We fell asleep on the floor. 2 days later, I went in and sat at the end of my mom's bed. And on her nightstand, my mom had a warm bottle of whiskey with a little shot glass. That's how my mom started her day. And by the way, I shared my story 7 times this week. Bottom line is, I began to tell her what I thought happened. She got us to the hospital. My sister was physically hurt. They arrested the dude, and he did go to prison. But watch this. Like some of you, I lived in a prison from the age of 7 to the age of 20, 13 years. I lived in a prison of blame, shame, blame, and guilt. And I was 20 years old before I realized what happened to my sister wasn't my fault. And if you knew in this room, some of you can identify with my story. And listen, I don't blame you for being mad, but it's not going to change your life. And I believe with all my heart, you heard me when I was here in October, God and the devil have a plan, a purpose, and a blueprint for your life. And you're looking at a dude who should be a wife beater, child abuser, drug user. I should be an alcoholic. We moved back from California to St. Louis. I woke up with a butcher knife in my throat, 10 years old. My mom's whiskey breath in my face. I didn't hear her come in, drug my sister in the room. My mom threatened to kill us all the time. And I remember my mom looking at me, telling us we came from hell. We cost her too much money. She didn't want me. My dad didn't want me. Remember, I'm a new kid, 24 different schools. I got no friends, no family, no future, I got nothing. And I'm begging. My mom eventually dropped the knife on the ground, passed out of my chest. My sister crawled up in the bed. And if you call it living, we got to live one more day. If you're listening, say yes. Yes. Because if you listen to the right voice, you're always going to make the right choice. 2 years later, in the sixth grade, I had a chance to cut my mom's throat. She was passed out on the kitchen floor. I rolled her over. My sister's crying, and I'm crying, and I thought if I could just get rid of my mom. I can't tell you why I didn't. I didn't cut her, didn't do any of that. I dropped the knife. We went and sat on the front porch and just cried ourselves to sleep. If you're listening, say yes. Yes. My sister began to run the streets. I moved to Texas with the stepdad. I'm not from Texas. Just got there as quickly as I could. Moved to Texas. My two half-brothers, my dad marries another woman. She began to beat me like my mom not too soon after I was there. I was real little growing up. I don't know. I said months, but it may have been a year or so. And I got tired of getting beat up. I got tired of trying to protect my brothers. I packed a suitcase and left. I lived in the street for a couple of days. And then a family started to let me live with them. One family, 2 or 3 days. Another family had a little apartment. I got a couple of weeks. And finally, this one family let me live on their couch for several months. And then it happened. Everybody say Jeff.
Jeff.
Now, look at John chapter 10. I'm going to come back. Look at John 10. And would you look at verse 1? This is important. Jesus says in John 10, 1, if you see the red letter part, that's Jesus' words. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate or the door must be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the door of the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him and the sheep, get ready to speak, recognize his
voice.
Man, that's good. And they come to him. He calls his own sheep out by name and leads them out. Look at verse 4. After he's gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them and they won't follow him because they don't know his. See, you have to understand, in John chapter 10, there's a deceptive voice and there's a voice of life. Look at this. He said this. Verse 5. They won't follow a stranger. They run from him because they do not know his. Verse 6, those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant. So he explained it. I tell you the truth, I am the gate or the door for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but my true sheep, watch, did not listen to them. If you're listening, say I am. Man, I'm so pumped tonight being here. Look at this. And I could preach till midnight. That scares him. Watch this. Because he changed my life. And then he said this, verse 9, yes, I am the door or the gate, and those who come in through me will be saved. They will come in and go freely and find good pasture. But look at verse 10, because that's it. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, my purpose is to give them a rich and a satisfying life. Look, if you would, at verse look, if you would, at verse 27. He said, my sheep listen to my. You see verse 27? My sheep listen to my. I know them and they. And then the next one says, no one can pluck you out of the Father's hand. Everybody say, just a sheep. Maybe a goat. Now I'm pumped. I'm not real pumped about being a sheep, but I'd rather be a sheep than a goat. Everybody say, sheep. And you have to understand that God compares us as a Christian to a, everybody say sheep.
Sheep.
Are you ready? They're dumb, they're helpless, and defenseless. Bah. Can I tell you something though? Sheep can do nothing without a shepherd. I wrote this down, I hope I did. I'm writing all kinds of quotes. Give me a moment. Say I will. Well, I was going to take it anyway, but I'm going to see if I wrote this down. Where did I write? He said, sheep that stray away from the shepherd, they made a choice, and when they do, the enemy's going to get them. Everybody say sheep.
Sheep.
Knows God.
Follows God.
Hears God. I meet people all the time, they say they're a sheep. Oh, I'm going to come back to my story. But I meet people who say they're a Christian, but they don't like the sheep food. This is the sheep food. You know why people don't go to church? They either don't like the shepherd or the sheep food. Everybody say bah. An incredible language for sheep. But you know what I found out about sheep? They can do nothing without a. But let me tell you about the shepherd. Everybody say the shepherd, knows your name,
knows your
needs. Look at this. He
knows,
and by the way, he knows your nature. If you're listening, say
yes.
I don't know if you've ever looked at sheep, but now goats don't need nothing. Goats will eat anything. Sounds like my two boys. But can I tell you something about sheep? Do you know that if a sheep falls on its back, watch this. It can't get up. There's some kind of a curvature in its spine, and it looks funny. They're doing this, trying to get up. They literally will slice their face. And the only way the sheep can get back on its feet is if the shepherd picks him up. You know why they shave around a sheep's eyes? I said that one time in a church. A little girl in the front row said, so they can see. Are you ready? They shave around a sheep's eyes so maggots won't get inside that wool and literally eat their eyes out. Listen to this. If a sheep strays away, they will look for that one sheep. They will, when they find it, they'll break a leg. They'll put the sheep on their shoulder. And wherever the shepherd goes, the sheep goes. And finally, one day when the leg heals and he puts him down, guess who ain't running away no more? Because that dude's thinking he might break two legs. He might shave me. Everybody say sheep.
Sheep.
Knows God.
Follows God.
Hears God. Can y'all hear me okay back here? So here, I forgot y'all were back there. I'm waiting for them to hold up a number. Look at me close. If you claim to be a sheep, you know God. Man, you follow him. And you hear him. He's speaking every day. Everybody say voices.
Voices.
Choices.
Choices.
How many of y'all have animals in your home? I'm not talking about your brother or sister. How many of y'all have a dog? How many of y'all talk to your dogs? We're weird, aren't we? And have you noticed that we talk to a dog like we do a baby? Come here. I could do this to Fluffy. I could go, Fluffy, over here. Fluffy ain't coming. Because Fluffy knows my, she knows. But when I do, Fluffy, come here, she comes. I was at a friend's house one time. We were watching football. I used to be afraid of dogs. I got attacked a couple of times. I'm sitting on the couch. My friend went to get us Diet Cokes and popcorn. It evens everything out. He said, I'm going to let my dog in. I said, is it an indoor dog or an outdoor dog? Because there's a difference. Fluffy's about 8 pounds. She's indoor. She sleeps with us. It's crazy. He said, indoor. So I'm thinking a poodle, multi-poo, something. So I'm sitting there watching TV. All of a sudden, I heard breathing. Didn't even see the dog yet, just breathing. And I looked over, I didn't even see that, I just saw the head. It was a Great Dane. Dude, that's a horse. And that dog came over to me and sat on the couch like this. He looked at me, I didn't know if I looked like his girlfriend or lunch. I was trying not to be afraid, and finally he walked over to the front door, and he looked at me and looked at the door. Looked at the door and looked at me. I had no idea what that meant. And he squatted right there and pooped. He needed to go outside. So I'm thinking, dude, when that guy comes back, you're in trouble. This is no lie. Everybody say voices.
Voices.
Choices.
Choices.
Because it's going to get heavy. Bottom line is, my friend walks in and he sees the poop. And he looked at the dog. Then he looked at me. Then he looked at me. Then he looked at the poop. Then he looked at the dog. And he said this to the dog. Did you do that? Like that dog's going to go, oh no, it was him. If you're listening, say yes.
Yes.
Do you understand voices? Have you ever been somewhere and you couldn't see the person, but you heard their voice and you recognized them? My wife, every now and then, I don't do this to be mean. Sometimes I call. I mean, we've talked 10 times today, but I'll call her sometimes, and all I want to do is hear her voice. And when I hear her say hello, I just hang up. I know she's okay. Everybody say voices.
Voices.
Everybody say choices.
Voices.
Bottom line is Jeff invites me to church. Everybody say Jeff.
Jeff.
Yeah, I hated Jeff. Jeff loved Jesus. You ever been around those people? Yeah! I mean, they're happy about everything. And he decided I needed Jesus. Everywhere I went, we'd be in the boys' bathroom, Jesus loves you. We'd be in the library, Jesus, I'd cuss him out. He'd catch me in my locker, Jesus. I ran out of cuss words. Finally, he met me in the cafeteria one time. He said, dude, can I sit here with you? I said, sit here, but I don't want to hear about Jesus. He said, okay, I should have known. This is what he did. He said, can I pray for my food? Go for it. Hey, God, Ken Freeman needs Jesus. He kept inviting me to church. I kept making excuses. Everybody say voices. Say choices. You see, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. Finally, I went to church. I said, give me two good reasons. Look at me. Girls and food. I was into chicks and chicken, so I went. Second Baptist Church, Furman Street, Corpus Christi, Texas. I walked in the back door. I saw the girls, didn't see the food. I said, dude, where's the food? He said, we ain't eating till after. Very tricky. So I was going to sit on the back row. It was already full. You know what I found out in Baptist churches? You want to get a good back seat, you need to get there early. 4 or 5 days early in some churches. So we're walking down the aisle. I mean, it was packed, but we were passing up some good seats. Are you looking? I robbed churches, vandalized churches. My first time, are y'all watching? My first time to go to church. I'm following Jeff. Just following Jeff. Are y'all watching? Yeah. Following Jeff. I joined the youth choir. I'm on the stage. I walk up there and these big old boys started, I love you, brother. I'm thinking, you let go. I don't know your mama. The girls started hugging me, hallelujah. And it wasn't anything like this. They had a piano and an organ. The lady on the piano came over in the Mayflower. Lady played the organ. She dated Columbus. And I looked in the hymnal, Baptist Second Bible. I looked at some of the songs, copyright, 1500. I'm thinking, you ought to get some new songs. And I didn't know any of them. And they're singing these songs. The music guy got up. Not like here, but he got up. He's doing all this. We stood, sat, stood, sat, stood. He turned around to the choir to do this. I said, I ain't standing. And he did this. And when he did this, it was like his hand went underneath my butt. No, I stood up. So now I'm standing. We started singing all these songs about an idiot God with idiot people. I was lost. He sat down and then the preacher got up. His name was Freddie Gage. Anybody ever heard of Freddie Gage? Meanest preacher you ever meet in your stinking life. Wasn't that tall. And he got up, and I couldn't get like Joel Osteen or Barney or Mr. Rogers or somebody. This dude got up, and he let it go. Some of you, he's yelling. I came for free food and girls. And it was like the 4th of July. Preach. They ought to be on Saturday Night Live. They're funny. Some of you, he's yelling. Hell. As soon as he said we were going to go to hell, we were in a Baptist church and they amen. Said, I leaned over to Jeff. I said, Jeff, I know amen is some prayer deal. And no. We're having this conversation shorter than I normally would. The more he yelled, it, and then he stopped, and he first time to be in church, I'm freaking out. Point to you. Have been justified. I had no idea what that meant. But they were happy. Woo, they loved it. Some of you have been sanctified. I was petrified. And then he quit pointing to the cross, and he pointed to the, guess who he pointed to? Oh, he went right at me. He put that finger in my face. I think I'm going to kill Jeff because Jeff probably told him to point at me. He didn't. And he pointed at me and said, some of you have been convicted. I raised my hand. I don't know why. It was the only hand up in the building. Jeff grabbed my arm. He said, what are you doing? I said, dude, I've been to jail a couple times. Y'all are laughing. I'm freaking out. I said, did you tell him I've been to jail? He said, I didn't. I said, that guy's good. Are you ready? October of 1968. If I told you all the abuse that I went through. And that night, because of a football player by the name of Jeff, got me to church. And that night, the dude said, if you're tired of running, stand up. So I stood up in the choir. I was scared half to death. And I started crying. I didn't like crying in front of people. I got snot going everywhere. And I heard Jeff, the football player, watch this. He said, God, would you save Ken Freeman? Now, I didn't know what that meant, but I knew it had to be good. And so he said, if you're standing, would you come forward? So I left the choir. I turned around. They're all crying. I'm thinking, I can't even do this right. I've upset the whole choir. But they knew my story. I went down to the front, and I made sure I got in front of that preacher. Everybody say voices.
Voices.
Everybody say choices. Voices. See, I was getting ready to step across the street one time, and I won't ever forget, Jeff saw it. And as I got ready to step across, I wasn't paying attention, and all Jeff did was this. He yelled, Freeman! He just yelled my name, and I freaked out and stepped back. Are you ready for this? If he had not yelled, if he had not been strong, I was about ready to step out in front of a bus. It was his voice that saved me. That night, I'm standing in front of that preacher. He's got his finger in my face. Son, do you know you're a sinner? I wanted to bite that finger. And here's what I told him. I said, sir, I don't know what I am, but I got no family. I said, the only friend I got, you see that guy up there in the choir? He said, yeah, that's Jeff. Conspiracy. And I said, whatever he's got, I want. I don't know what it is. He said, that dude's a Christian. He's saved. I said, yeah, but he doesn't have a dad in his life. His mom's incredible. His brother, I think, is into drugs and drinking. I said, I can't believe. Listen, that dude loves Jesus. And I said, how do I get it? He said this, I'm going to take you to the Roman road. Y'all are going to laugh. I'm thinking, I'm not getting in a car. And he opened up to Romans 3:23. Watch. See, and this is it. Some of you who say you're a sheep, some of you who say that you're a Christian, some of you, and by the way, if you read Matthew 25, there's going to be a judgment. He'll separate the goats from the sheep, the lost from the saved, the unrighteous from the righteous. And I want you to understand, there are some of you here, you won't open up this Bible. You won't share your faith. You won't pray. You won't memorize scripture. I promise you, I'm not just preaching to the choir. And there are people probably watching online. I want you to listen. You better know that you know the shepherd. Bottom line is, Romans 3:23, for all have... How many? Here's the Roman road. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then he went and he put my name. He said, Ken Freeman sinned. Put my name there. I said, dude, I've screwed up. Then he went to Romans 5:8. Are you ready? Even while Ken Freeman was sinning, God demonstrated his love that he still sent his son to die for me. You know what I had to cry? Are y'all listening? Why would a heavenly father want me when my own dad didn't want me? I wish you could go with me to the schools. I didn't get one dime. I wish you could go with me to the schools, and as I get into my story, watch kids weep. He went to Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is? Y'all better listen. Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed once for men to die, after that the judgment. We're all going to die, watch. We're all going to be judged. We all have a destiny. And here's the deal. We have no idea when we're going to die. But the fact is, you're going to hear about my mom, sister, and dad in just a moment. Here's the bottom line. For the wages of sin is, but the free gift of God is. You have to understand. The devil wants to rip you off with religion. The devil wants to rip you off with works. The devil wants to rip you off with being good. Jesus said, I've come to give you life. I've done all that you need. Just receive it. Then he went to Romans 10:9-10. If you believe in your heart, come on, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe that he raised from the dead, he said, I'll save you. That night I gave my life to Christ. I want you to listen. I cried one of the hardest times. How could God love me? Can I tell you this? There are things that I did before I was saved that my wife will never know. He's already forgiven me. Bottom line is, God saved me. Everybody came down, started hugging me. I still don't understand that. And then the school found out I had no legal guardian, so I had to leave Texas and move back to St. Louis, Missouri, and live with my mom. The only friends I ever had. They all went to the airport with me, and they're gone. I didn't run into a Jeff. My mom didn't beat me anymore because I was big enough to hit her back. Eventually, I call them my Jesus parents, and they write the foreword in one of my books. They were the minister of music at the church in Texas where I was saved. When I went to St. Louis, they moved to San Antonio to a massive church. They sent me a one-way plane ticket. Everybody say voices. Voices. Say choices. Voices. You see, there's voices of depression, fear, insecurity, loneliness, pride, religion. Bottom line is, they sent me a plane ticket. I don't even know how I got to the airport, but I did, and I flew from St. Louis to San Antonio. Gate 35, I walked off the plane. There's no longer a gate 35. And when I walked off, Malcolm and Johnny, I call them my Jesus parents, they put their arms around me, and they were the best picture of Jesus I've ever seen. They had two boys, Todd and Tim, and they got a Stephanie, an Hispanic girl. She was coming off a drug. She got the extra bedroom, and I got a camper shoved up in the carport. I thought it was a condo. Real quickly, I came in one night, February 7th, 1970. Man, I hated my mom. I hated my dad. And I will never forget, I walked in one night, I drank a beer and smoked a cigarette. I said, Malcolm, why is it when I see dads and their sons, why is it when I see families, I want to drink or smoke, or I just want to put my fist to the wall? And listen to what he said to me. He said, do you love your mom and dad? And I said, Malcolm, if my parents walked through the front door of your home and I owned a pistol, I'd blow their brains out. And listen to what he said. He always took me to scripture. Don't look, don't turn to it, but write down Colossians chapter 3. You ought to write it down. It's an incredible chapter to read, but listen to verse 12 and 13. Listen to what he says. He says that we are to love others and forgive others as Christ forgave us. And listen to what he says. He says it's important that you forgive so you can live. Watch. And Malcolm said this to me, my Jesus dad. He said, until you're willing to love your mom and dad and forgive them, watch, like Christ forgave you, you'll never be free. And my last name is Free Man. Are you ready? February 7th, 1970, about 11 o'clock at night, I fell to my face to the ground. They're praying over me. And I said, God, would you give me a love for my mom and dad? I hadn't seen my dad at that point in 16 years. I don't think my mom ever told me she loved me. And I said, God, would you please give me a love for my mom and dad? Watch. I was saved. But that night, he gave me the abundant life. Man, it was like a backpack. Man, I wept. I went and called my mom. My mom answered. She was a little drunk. I said, make you some coffee. She did. I could tell she was sobering up. I said, Mom, when I was living with you, I was a Christian. I was just a lousy Christian. I said, Mom, I've hated you for a long time. She started crying. I said, wait. I said, Mom, I want you to know that not only have I forgiven you, God's forgiven you, we both love you, but would you forgive me for hating you? And my mom lost it. I said, Mom, listen to me. I've already forgiven you. And she did. Here's what I couldn't say at the school. For 14 years, I haven't had a drink of alcohol in over 50 years. And I'm just telling you why. What we do in moderation, they're going to do in excess. We ought to be an example, not an excuse. Bottom line, for 14 years, I told my mom how much I loved her. She saw my life change. I watched my mom lay in bed, 52 years old. I wiped the blood from her eyes, skin turned yellow, body bloated. A lot of people don't like me saying this, but I'm going to tell you, I don't believe my mom's in a better place. I think she died lost. That night I called my dad. The operator answered. She wouldn't put me through, so I started telling her my story. I heard her crying. Don't do this, but it worked. I said, Ma'am, if you don't put me through to my dad right now, because his number is unlisted, I said, God is going to hurt you. That's all I had. And the phone rang. Listen close. Hey, whoever's going to come play keyboard, make your way. I'm not done. Keep your Bibles open wherever you are. Come on. Look at me. That makes you feel better. Watch this. My dad answered the phone. I said, I'm looking for James Arthur Freeman. He said, you got him. I said, my name is Kenneth Wayne Freeman. Evidently, I'm your firstborn. He said, what do you want? I said, I'd like for you to be my dad. I said, I'd love to meet you. I said, I just talked to Mom. And I said, Dad, I'm going to ask you to do something, and you may hang up on me, but I'm going to be okay. I'm a Christian. Love Jesus. This is my first conversation with my dad in 16 or so years. I said, would you forgive me for hating you? And he hung up. 3 weeks later, I got a letter from my dad. It said, Ken, I'm not your dad. You're not my son's dad. I'm alive. He sent me 4 pictures, which I still have. Got married, 2 boys, grandkids. And in 1998, by the way, my mom's passed away. Oh, by the way, my sister, right around that time in 98, called me up. She was going to kill herself and kill her son. I said, Donna, I can't get to you, but I got a preacher. I've been in his church. She said, I'll give you 24 hours. My sister was a welcome mat to men. Bottom line is, the dude went over, and the next day, my sister called me just weeping. She said, I got saved. Here's what she said. I never believed that God could love me like he loved you. She said, but I got saved. I found, oh, by the way, Scott, I called 3 big Baptist churches to go visit my sister. And you know what all 3 of them said to me? Your sister lives in the wrong neighborhood. So I called this little biker church. Have Bible, Will Travel was the name of the church. And they got my sister, they got her, they had Bible study where she lived. They were helping her get food. My sister had lost almost all of her teeth. I called a dentist and sent him $1,000. I said, my sister's going to be coming in. Would you give her a brand new set of dentures so she can smile? And she did. It wasn't too much later. One summer I was preaching outside of St. Louis. And her pastor surprised me and brought her to hear me speak. She walked in dressed as good will address you. Sat on the front row, started taking pictures. I thought I was at a photo shoot. And tears streaming down. When I finished, I'd done this camp several years. I said, how many of y'all have prayed for my sister? Because they had no idea. A lot of them. And I said, and they're all seated. I said, Donna, would you stand with your pastor? I said, this is my sister. My sister's born again. Say, they started clapping. I've had many, many ovations, and I deserve help. But they stood and just, it's the only standing ovation she probably ever got in her life. She sat down and just tears, and people started coming and giving her money and giving them their, you know, shirts from their youth group. My sister, I believe God saved her. She still struggled a little bit with drinking. She ran with the wrong people. And I think it was a few years later, her pastor called me, said, hey, you might want to sit down. My sister drank a little bit of vodka and took some pain pills. She was just hurting. And my sister was 50, and she died in her sleep. Oh, I believe she's with Jesus today. My dad, in 98, I found my dad in 70. In 1998, I flew to where my dad lived. I hadn't talked to him or seen him at that point in 28 years, 42 years. Plane landed. I cried the whole way there. Me and my oldest son were there. We drove over to Timothy Drive. I knocked on the door, and there, Maxine, I guess my stepmom, opened the door, and there stood my dad for the first time in 42 years. And I walked up, and I think my dad wanted me to slug him, hit him something. I put my arms around him. I said, Dad, 28 years ago, you hung up on me, wrote me a tough letter. I said, 42 years ago, you walked out on me. And here's what I said, but you're my dad. I've already forgiven you. And for 10 hours, I told my dad my story. And he sat and wept, couldn't even look at me. I hugged him. I had to leave the next day. As we walked out, Maxine walked me out, my stepmom. He said, I've been married to your dad 47 years. I've never seen your dad cry for anything or anybody. I called back that night. He couldn't talk. Because of my story, it just tore him apart. That was in 98. 2004, I've sent him my book. I've sent him scriptures. I sent him birthday cards, Father's Day. I didn't get anything back. And in 2004, he got throat cancer, bone cancer, 78 years old, 5 months to live. I flew back to San Francisco in 2004 with my wife. And Monday, on June the 1st, I'm sitting at the table. And I said, Maxine, I just got to know, if you died, would you go to heaven? Are you saved? She said, ever since I met y'all, when I was young, I know I got saved. I looked at my dad. I said, Dad, I got to know, if you died, you got 5 months, maybe 5 days. And he said, I deserve hell. I want everybody to listen. All of us deserve hell. But by the grace of God, we get heaven. I'm giving you the short version. God, I wish I would have videoed this. I don't even know if I owned a video camera. And on June 1st, 2004, kneeling next to my dad, my mom, and his wife at the end of the bed, I led my 78-year-old dad to the Lord. And watch, he pulled me close and said three things. He cried again. He said, if this is what being saved is, I've never had more peace than I have right now. He said, I bet you would have been a great son. And then he said this, I've been wanting to tell you for about 6 years that I'm sorry. My dad didn't get 5 months. He got 12 days. That's my family. My mom told me all my life I wouldn't make it. He can take broken pieces, make them into masterpieces. I'll close with this. You would think I've been through enough. I'd give anything to have my grandson back. Our loss was heaven's gain. My son went from 5 kids to 4. August the 9th, 2016, 3 years later after Trey passed away, we adopted Luke and Addie. Half brother, half sister, biracial, She's biracial. He white. She's biracial. She's got more moves. She's got an afro. We ain't got nothing to do. We don't know what to do with the afro. We white. Are you ready for this? This is what they're going to find out, and I'm going to close. They're going to find out that their mom had 8 kids with 8 different men, and her trash became my treasure. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's a voice of deception, a voice of lies. Jesus said, I've come to give you life. That's a voice of hope and truth. And life abundantly. And then he said this, for you that believe you can lose your salvation and get it and lose it, you're in a sad place. Because listen to what he says. Jesus' words, my sheep, listen to my voice. I know them, they follow me, and I will give them eternal life, and they will never perish. So here's my question tonight. Don't let the enemy rip you off. A.W. Tozier, I said this Sunday morning. I want everybody looking here, and we're done. If your Christian conversion didn't change the direction of your life, if your Christian conversion didn't transform or change your life, then you've never been converted at all. You're a product of the just pray Jesus heresy. It's not a prayer. It's what you believe here. And I promise you, there's some adults here. There's some teenagers here. Listen, I want you to understand that salvation is not about being christened, sprinkled, dumped, baptized. It's not about church membership. It's not about how good you are. It's not about how much you pray. Christianity is about a relationship that you can have with God through Jesus Christ by believing in your, confessing with your, that Jesus is